What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into our very first video episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. Listening audio only right now, just remember you can watch the show now on YouTube. Follow us, youtube.com/@ConferenceUSA. Go and like our YouTube page so you never miss a new video episode of CUSA Insider. But if audio is more your thing, you can always still subscribe and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. So go on over there and subscribe to CUSA Insider. And we have a really great show in store for you today. Joining me again here on the program, we have Josh Yonis, our Assistant Commissioner of Strategic Communications, who is very excited about a Kennesaw State victory last night, their first in FBS play. We have a lot to talk about today, Josh. We will definitely get to football, which I know you are very excited to talk about.
You know, I mean, it was, how can you not be excited? You know, obviously here in the conference office, it's tough because, you know, we want to root for everyone. We want everyone to win, and we hate when our teams lose.
But, yes.
I think just the momentous win for Kennesaw last night, I mean, just the amount of buzz that they're getting, Coach Bohannon and his program are getting, it's just awesome.
Yeah. So. Kennesaw State made history last night, people. So we're giving them their flowers here on the show today. Liberty fans, don't come after us. We've given you your flowers plenty of time, but I'm sure it'll come back around. But let's talk a little bit of women's soccer and volleyball really quick before we move into recapping those football games. So we have one front runner still on the women's soccer side. FIU did take a loss at Kennesaw State this past weekend. They gave up 3 goals, which I was really, really surprised about. But they're still top of the conference right now, going into the final. Not quite final. They have one weekend this weekend. Next weekend is the final, the penultimate weekend of the season. So they've got a weekend to play this weekend. Next weekend, we will release the women's soccer bracket. So you can see here, FIU, some highlights. They've been doing great things this season. I was, like I said, very surprised by the result of that Kennesaw State game last week. So I'm sure they'll pick up a few more heading into the final weekend of the season.
They just want to knock off everybody right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. WKU, UTEP volleyball, they better watch out when they're playing Kennesaw if they haven't already. But, you know, yeah, FIU, just an incredible story this year. I know that they've been building, you know, to this moment for a few years now. And I know we've mentioned this before, you know, as we get closer to the Conference USA Championship, they're hosting. So they're bringing everybody out to Miami, or the top six teams out to Miami for this championship. So having that home field advantage will be nice for them. But yeah, what an incredible season for the Panthers.
Yeah, they're doing some really great stuff. And then off the pitch, back to the court on the volleyball side, we've got two teams in conference play right now that are 10-0. UTEP and WKU have been running through their opponents in CUSA play, but they play each other this weekend. So there can only be one winner and one loser. So we'll have to see who comes out on top following this weekend series. And they are at home in El Paso. So El Paso fans, UTEP fans, we know what they can do. They are loud and they are proud. So we'll have to see if WKU can take that pair of matches this weekend, or if UTEP comes out on top. I do think that this is a huge, like, pinnacle weekend as far as CUSA volleyball play goes. I do believe that whoever gets through this weekend, you know, like we were saying, anything can happen. But I think that they are fighting for that top spot in the league, the number one seed in the volleyball championship that is going to be hosted again by UTEP. So you never know. Maybe the top seeds for this women's soccer championship and for this volleyball championship will actually be the home team.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta love it. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So that doesn't always happen around here. Sometimes, you never know. Sometimes the host team doesn't even make the tournament. Those are always really interesting times.
Yeah.
But looking good for those two programs this year. Sure. Well, want to give a quick rundown of how the rest of the show is going to go. Josh and I are going to recap the four games that happened in weekday CUSA on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we have a very special interview with Coach Brian Bohannon from Kennesaw State. He took some time out of his schedule. He literally told us he didn't sleep last night. So I know he's tired and I know he's got lots of media things to do today. So he took a little bit of time out of his schedule to talk to us. We're going to talk to him. And then right after that, our weekday warrior segment with Michael Barker. He was at Vice Night on Tuesday, and then he was at Kennesaw State last night to see that victory. So lots of good stuff from him. But let's talk about this past week's, I guess, weekday CUSA game starting on Tuesday. So which game do you want to kind of go over first?
Yeah, we'll start with Vice Night. Obviously, there was a lot of excitement just leading into this one with, you know, the uniforms, the branding, the boats on the sidelines.
Yep.
They just, you know, once again, blew it out of the water. I mean, this is...
The boats kind of blew it out of the water.
I always be throwing these things out. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about
them.
I got called out last time for the Liberty playing with fire comment.
Yes.
And apparently that's something that's used in a positive way for them, and I tried to use it in a negative. But
Sorry, I derailed you entirely.
You're good. FIU, really just, they did a great job with everything surrounding this game. But Sam Houston comes out on top of this one. They get to bowl eligibility in just their second season of FBS competition, which is just really cool to see. I mean, I think that they're excited. You know, obviously the way they started the year was great, but really getting to that 6-win mark was a huge boost for their fan base. And I mean, who knows? The rest of the year, they now with Liberty's loss, they're kind of right back in the Conference USA championship race, even with one loss in conference play. Obviously hosting is probably a little further off.
Yeah.
At least getting into that game is still a possibility. But Christian Pavon, their kicker, kind of bounced back. He missed a couple kicks in the first half of this one,
mm-hmm.
but drilled, you know, one when it mattered. Right there in the final minutes of the game. So, this was it was a gritty game.
It was gritty,
to say the least.
It was hard to watch at times. To be entirely honest, it was tough.
But Sam Houston without starting quarterback Hunter Watson. The offense kind of wasn't sure what it was going to look like, but Jace Bauer, again, when it mattered most, he had 42 rushing yards on the game-winning drive. He had a 25-yard run to get him down to the 10-yard line that kind of set him up for that game-winning field goal. So, not their best offensive game, but when they needed plays made, guys made the plays. Especially, Jalen Jimerson had that huge block punt that set up their first touchdown. So, really this game kind of boiled down to three big plays, that defined how Sam Houston got on the board.
Yeah, it was a good showing all around, I guess, in the second half by those teams, but it was definitely gritty. It was more of a defensive battle than I thought it was going to be. But like you said, with Hunter Watson out, the game was just played a little bit different. We'll see if he makes it back on the field next week. They are going to be at home against Louisiana Tech next week, back there in Huntsville. But Louisiana Tech coming off of a victory as well, again, in that Tuesday night slot.
Yeah, I mean, La Tech against UTEP, I mean, this has just been one team that they've really had their number. They've won 11 of the last 12 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one that, we knew was going to be a good defensive matchup, that, with two of the league's top two defenses.
There you go.
Against each other. Yeah, I got there. But, another great performance by La Tech quarterback Evan Bullock, 22-30 for 248 yards and a touchdown. And I was really impressed. I kind of talked about, some of his numbers a week or so ago, but really impressed with him on third downs. He was 10 of 12 for 123 yards. On third downs, had two long passes on third and long situations that kind of set up their game-winning drive. And then when you look at his numbers on the season, I really just kind of dove into it because I'm a nerd. I like numbers.
He's stats nerd.
Yeah. but Evan Bullock this season on third downs, 33 of 44, 75% completion rate, 486 yards, 11 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's number 2 in FBS in quarterback rating on third down.
What?
Which is insane. As a freshman.
Yeah. That's
and
crazy.
Then on third and long, when you kind of expand, you kind of narrow it down to when they've got 7-plus yards to go, he's 27 of 33, an 82% completion percentage, 403 yards, 12.2 yards per attempt. I mean, he's throwing the ball 12 yards down the field on third and long. So, I mean, they're going for it. They're shooting the ball. With a young quarterback. So I think that, it's risky, but it's worked for this year. So I've been really impressed with Evan Bullock so far. Excited to see how he continues to grow. Obviously a big challenge against Sam Houston this next week.
Yeah, definitely going to be, I think, a good one. But like we said, both teams coming off of victories. So there's not, one team that's trying to pick themselves back up this week.
Yep.
So we'll have to see how that goes. Let's transfer over into Wednesday. Which game do you want to talk about first?
Wednesday, I mean, Jack State, let's just knock them out of the way here. What an incredible, another incredible performance by their offense. had 438 yards on the ground, 8 yards per carry as a team. So, I mean, almost every time they were touching the ball, that ball was going, you know, almost for a first down. Trey Stewart led the way, 210 yards on 21 carries and with a touchdown. And then Tyler Huff, I mean, he's showing, you know, flashes of, I shouldn't even say flashes because it's been every game,
brilliance.
Every play. Yeah. He's showing why he was such a huge pickup from Furman in the transfer portal. He ran for 151 and 2 touchdowns in this game. He's third among FBS quarterbacks in rushing yards per game behind Army's Bryson Daly and Navy's Blake Horvath. So two option quarterbacks that are very much in the conversation nationally with how well Army and Navy are doing. No one's really talking about Tyler Huff. Come on, guys. I mean, he's right there. When you look at his numbers, I mean, he is right there with these guys, second among FBS quarterbacks in rushing yards per carry, nearly 7 yards a carry behind Blake Horvath. So, yeah, I mean, this duo just continues to get it done week after week.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot doubt the Jacksonville State run game at this current moment. If you are a team that is about to play Jacksonville State and you are not good at run defense, you better start practicing, okay? Because they are absolutely lights out. And it's really fun to watch. They do have a really tough matchup next week. They do go to Liberty. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But Gamecocks really solidifying their spot as a possible contender for the CUSA championship at this current moment. I'm going to go ahead and say it because I said it earlier to you. If I had to guess right now today who would be the two opponents, I'm not going to say who I think would host, but who would be the two opponents in the Conference USA Football Championship, I do think it might be Jacksonville State and WKU, which makes me happy because they're two of my favorite mascots in the league. So not that that really matters, but I like them. So another huge game that we got to witness last night, which we have talked about already, and we will talk about at length during this show because, like we said, it was literally history happening on the football field. Kennesaw State takes down undefeated Liberty.
Yep. Yeah, their first win over an FBS opponent in program history. Just another milestone for Coach Bohannon. I mean, he's done such amazing things in the 10 years that he's been at the helm since he birthed this program, right, 10 years ago. And so just another one to add to his resume. I mean, this really is a program-defining win, right? I mean, I know they've had big wins at the FCS level, but when you just kind of look at, especially just the vast differences between Kennesaw and Liberty, right? I mean, but beyond just what the outlook was going into the season with, you know, them being picked at the bottom, Liberty being picked towards the top, them kind of being one of the, you know, potential G5 playoff teams. I mean, beyond all that, you talk about the resources, you talk about, you know, Liberty got to FBS first, you know, they've kind of had this time to build up their program. So Kennesaw State coming in and saying, you know, hey, we're not scared of you.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come out here. We'll still punch you in the mouth. It was awesome. Again, like I said in the open, you know, we don't want to upset our Liberty fans. We love everybody. We want everyone to win. We don't want anyone to lose. But this was just really cool for the Owls. Davis Bryson, quarterback for Kennesaw State, had an incredible night, 16 of 20, 189 yards and a touchdown. And then joining him in the backfield, Michael Benefield, Quay Ashley, both went over 50 yards with a touchdown. So, you know, for an offense that this year just, you know, hasn't always had the answers, they were able to get it done. And then, you know, on the flip side, the defense showed no fear against Caden Salter and this Liberty offense. Tyler Hallam was just the second player to pick off Caden Salter this season. Yeah. And then he added 3 pass breakups. Yep. Yeah. She's got Planky or Plank, whatever his name is.
Plank celebration.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, you know, incredible night for him. You know, again, just they were not afraid of Caden Salter in this one.
Well, my favorite thing, I think, that we talk about a little bit with Coach Bohannon, too, is fourth quarter is Flames quarter. And it has been all season long. And Kennesaw State did not let that get to them. They held Liberty in the fourth quarter and they came out with a win.
Yeah.
It was a great game. We enjoyed watching it here in the conference office. We cheer for everyone. So we were happy for Kennesaw State for sure, being able to take that victory. Their first one in FBS history, home with them last night. And it was such a pleasure to get to talk to Coach Bohannon. And we want to give you guys that interview coming up right now in just a second. Watch it. All right, everybody. We have an extra special guest for you here on the program today. Joining us from Kennesaw State, we have head coach Brian Bohannon on the show today. Coach, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us. How's it going today?
Well, shoot, I tell you, it's a good day. You know, the last 6 weeks haven't been as fun, but today's a good day. I'm tired, but it's a good tired.
Coach, so going into that game, I mean, like you just said, you know, the first half of the season, you know, didn't quite go as planned, but for you, you know, going into that one, just what were you saying to the team? You know, obviously going up against a team like Liberty, to really fire them up to come out with that win.
Well, I think the big thing, and this has really been the theme for us, is just about going out and doing our job. I know this cliche. We've been our own worst enemy for the first half of the season. We don't even like worrying about the opponents. It's almost we got to take care of ourselves. And I did tell the guys for the game, I said, listen, don't be surprised in the fourth quarter if we got to go drive the ball to win the game. Don't be surprised in the fourth quarter if we got to make a stop to win the game. Don't be surprised if we're going to have to make a kick in the fourth quarter and win the game. Like, and I think the kids bought in and believed, and we finally played some complimentary football, OD and spec teams, which we have not done all year.
Is it tough, Coach, when you have a lead for the majority of the game to keep that momentum going all the way through the fourth quarter to get that final score and the win? How do you keep talking to your guys as the game goes on so they don't drop a play like what you're talking about and just keep that momentum on a high level throughout the whole game?
I think that's something we've been working on for weeks now. It's about, you know, I gave them three things before the game. It was focus, physicality, and four quarters. And really about how we, you know, we've been able to play a quarter or a half or whatever it might be throughout the year, but we haven't put it all together. So I think during the game, honestly, probably too late to have that conversation. I think that's in the preparation throughout the week and their mindset. And they knew too that the opponent had won games in overtime, had been behind multiple times. We had talked about all this stuff throughout the week. So I think our guys knew. And one big thing for us is just keep playing. They're going to make some plays. They're a good football team. Whoever we play makes plays. Just keep playing and trust it and believe in it. And I think as the game went on, you could see the energy and the confidence build a little bit as it went. And it was huge for us to close it out. That is a really big deal for us being where we are right now to close it out and find a way to win.
The fourth quarter has really been kind of Liberty's strength, you know, strength throughout the season. So, again, going back to that, you know, what were you saying to the team on the sideline to, you know, keep them fired up and to really kind of hinder something that Liberty's done all year, which is come back in the fourth quarter?
They have. And again, it was something we talked a lot about during the week. I thought the big point in the game for us was coming out of halftime. We've been close at half in some games, and we haven't found a way to get them off the field on the first possession or find a way to go down and score on the first possession. In my mind, it was critical coming out of halftime. We got a stop. We went down the field and scored. And I think from a confidence factor and a momentum factor, that was huge. And then we were able to just keep playing and find a way to close them out. But our guys knew they were going to have to play to the end. They knew that before the game ever started. You know, we just talked so much about that during the week, especially with the way Liberty's won their games. And a lot of times they'll put it on the quarterback's shoulders and he'll go find a way to make some plays. And I think we knew that, our kids knew that, and I was proud of them for playing and continue to play and find a way to finish.
Well, speaking of quarterback play, Davis Bryson last night put on a show out there for the fans there in Fifth Third Stadium. So what were you excited about with the way that he played the game and really just took it over last night?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm more proud about the previous week when he got benched. He didn't take a rep in practice, but he was the best teammate. He was cheering on the other quarterbacks. He was, and that's hard when you're the guy and all of a sudden you get benched. He came back. You know, I think he was on a mission, you know, to kind of show that he can do this. But I was more proud of that week, how he handled it. And because he handled it that way, it gave him an opportunity this week to go have a really good outing. He took care of the ball, plain and simple. That's been a problem for us. He took care of the ball, made some great throws. I thought our receiver corps made some great catches as well. but took care of the ball, ran the offense, and gave us an opportunity to win the game. And that's what we ask of the quarterback.
How important was the environment that the Kennesaw State fans created last night? I mean, you know, obviously, especially that fourth quarter drive for Liberty, you know, they get a few pre-snap penalties. Everyone's getting fired up. It seemed like that was quite a boost for you guys.
It was. And I said this after the game in my press conference that I don't know how many people were at the game necessarily, but the fan engagement was as good as we've had in a long time. They were into the game. They were excited. It was just the most engagement we've had here in a while. And obviously we helped a little bit by being in the game, right? That's part of it. But the fan engagement was incredible. I do think it had an impact on the game. I hope that our football team can build on what we did. I hope our fan base can build on what they did as we move forward.
And, hey, they're some of the most well-mannered fans. I couldn't believe how quickly they were able to clear the field after, the refs determined there was 1 second left. But take me back to that moment, right? Because, you know, obviously the fanfare starts. You guys feel like you've got this win. And then, you know, obviously you got to trot the guys back out there. And against someone like Caden Salter, who, on any given play, could have maybe turned that game on its head. So how tough was it to have to kind of for the guys to channel back in for that last play?
I'll be honest with you, they did a great job because it's hard. I mean, I don't know how you practice that, right? They did a great job of managing it. And, we've become a really resilient bunch. We've had no choice. We've been through some tough stuff. And we're a fairly young football team. But, heck, I think in games like that, when you get to celebrate twice, that's a good gig.
Coach, you've been with this team since the program's inception. We talked a little bit, you and I, about this at Media Day. But now getting your first FBS win, what does it feel like as a head coach who has brought this program from the ground up to finally add this notch in your belt and get that first FBS win as a program?
Well, first of all, I'm so proud of our kids and our staff. To keep all this together, when things aren't going well, I think it speaks volumes about the culture of Kennesaw State football and the people in the building. Because it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us to keep it together and find a way to go get this win. We've had a lot of great wins here. We've had a lot of conference championships. We've had playoff wins. We've had five overtime win games. We've had a lot of stuff, but there's no question that win last night is the best one we've had here. Not just because it was necessarily the first FBS win. I think it's just all the things that came with it and where we kind of were and what we were trying to get it done in a really tough time. And ultimately, I don't look at it as a notch or anything. I look at it as another milestone and historical moment for the people within this program and the hard work they put in to do it.
Well, I'm giving Kennesaw State their flowers today. I'm nursing myself. I know that you have like no voice probably right now, but I myself am nursing a little bit of a cough. So cheers to those Kennesaw State faithful out there. I'm an Owls fan for sure today.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, no rest for the weary, right? You got Western Kentucky next week. How do you kind of balance that? Are you able to take some time to celebrate the win, or is it just kind of right back at it? Because you got a chance to potentially knock off another Goliath here next Wednesday.
So I told the guys last night, I said, guys, go enjoy this. You deserve it. Go enjoy it. Listen, winning is hard. Winning is hard. I don't care who the it's not easy. So today's their off day. It was already planned that way. Now we come back in the morning. We're going to go over the game. And just as when we were not winning, we had to move on. Now they're going to have to learn when we do win, we got to move on. And I think, but listen, winning is not easy. You got to enjoy it. We enjoyed it last night. I did not sleep. I think I was too wound up, after the game. But I know our kids went and enjoyed it. But I think our kids got a lot of confidence last night. And I'm hoping that they can build on that confidence and understand what it takes to go finally win a game. And maybe we can build on that. Obviously, we know every week's going to be a challenge for us.
Well, we wish you guys the best the rest of the way, obviously. I mean, I'm ready for Coach Bohannon to come to our office here and give us a locker room speech because he's got me about ready to run through a wall over here. So, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time. Best of luck next week against WKU, and we will maybe have you again on the program at some time in the future.
Sounds good. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Well, next up, Josh, we are actually going to be joined by Michael Barker of CFB Campus Tour, who was at the game there last night, saw the double field rush. So we'll have him on the program coming right up. All right, everybody, joining us again for our Weekday Warrior segment, we have Michael Barker of CFB Campus Tours on the show again, talking about the two games that he went to this week and the two games he's going to next week. But he was at two really good ones this week, Vice Night on Tuesday, Kennesaw State's first FBS victory on Wednesday. Michael, thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. And it, honestly, these weekdays USA kids is getting better and better as the season progresses. So two great games to talk about. And next week there are a couple bangers coming up as well.
And on top of all that, I saw you did get your picture with Pitt Bill. So a little bit of a callback for those of you who caught last week's segment. We were, you know, joking about that. Unfortunately, Pitt Bull did not make his appearance like we thought he would. But, I mean, yeah, let's just start there with Vice Night, right? I mean, getting to see the pageantry there with the field design, the uniforms, the branding, the boats, the, all of it.
The craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Miami is cool, you know. And if you haven't been to Miami and you just see it from TV and if you watch the 80s Miami Vice Night, you know the vibe there. But getting to go to – and the difference between the University of Miami and Florida International – is FIU has an on-campus stadium right there next to the dorms, and it's just a great vibe for the students. I think it's the largest public enrollment in the state of Florida, but when you walked in Pitt Bull Stadium, new name, you see the way the end zones were painted with the white and the pink, and you know, I took a photo of one of the players' helmets and put that on Twitter, and people loved that. And just the whole pageantry to behind it, you know, the FIU cheerleaders, they win national championships. Their dance team is great. And the vibe was there. Josh, you mentioned Pitt Bill. You know, I try to deliver. You guys want me to get a photo? And I ran up on him on the sideline. And a lot of people, even though I put Pitt Bill in the caption, they really thought it was still Pitt Bull. Like, I did a typo. And so the funniest part of that photo is he has a Ziploc bag, like, of caramel corn.
Caramel corn.
Yeah. Oh, and so people are like, man, Pitt Bull, even though he's a millionaire, he's trying to save money on concessions, that we respect that. So, but just fun. Everything was fun about it. And, you know, I highly recommend this. My second year in a row going to Vice Night. Last year they had sports cars on the field. This year they had a whole yacht on there. So quite a scene down there in Miami.
Yeah, it was definitely, I love the way the field was painted. It was so cool. I mean, you can't doubt that, no matter how the game ended up, because it was at times tough to watch. But that was just so fun, the pink and the blue and just the electric atmosphere. It was a lot of fun to watch. But I'm sure for you, walking around during the first half with two goose eggs up on the board, it was like, all right, when's this game going to start getting going here?
Well, it's funny because, you know, you think like a social media person, and there's a meme. I don't know if you guys know it. It's Frank Beamer for Virginia Tech when they win 0-0 into end of regulation. He puts his arms up celebrating. And so I was thinking about that, and I didn't do it right away. But within about 2 minutes, I saw five people post it. So we all think the same way. But, you know, I love exploring the stadium. You guys know that. And one thing that's very unique about FIU is they built like a $60 million dorm that overlooks the field. And I went in there. It's called T-A-M-I-A-M-I, to Miami. I'm going to butcher the pronouncing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tamiami. I don't know that. My dad used to live in South Florida, and there's a road near where he used to live. Yeah,
Tamiami. Yeah, because Miami, Miami, but anyways, I took an elevator up to the 13th floor and just took this incredible aerial, like drone shot looking photo of the stadium, and to have those white end zones set off that turf, and you know, it's always just a tropical feel there. So even though, you know, the first half wasn't much action, it was still fun to explore the stadium. And it got down to it, you know, 10-7, one possession game at the end of the game, and you know, Sam Houston pulled it out, and they have a good thing going this year. So I'm looking forward. We're going to talk about it, but I'm going to see them next week.
Yes, you will. But then, so we going back to this week, like you were saying, you got to do Vice Night on Tuesday. And then last night you were in Kennesaw, Georgia, and you got to witness their first ever FBS win against an undefeated Liberty opponent. Tell me about what it was like there in Kennesaw.
It's crazy. So I have a sponsorship with TickPick, and one thing I do is it's a cheap ticket alert before the game. So $14 was the cheapest ticket on there, and I said, just in my caption, I said, come and see the college football upset of the year. Maybe, but you never know. And then you see what happens, and people are like, you know, hashtag, they already knew, and all that. But so I've been going to a lot of these weeknight games, and for an 0-6 team playing on a Wednesday that hasn't won an FBS D1 game since 2021, you're not really expecting a lot. And the students showed up, the band showed up, the Liberty visiting section showed up, and that was a great atmosphere out there. And they had showed a film in the stadium that Kennesaw in the FCS days had beat Liberty at Liberty, and they rolled that there. And so, you know, you just kind of got the possibility. You know, I talked to some coaches on Liberty about the season. And so I saw Liberty play FIU to overtime 2 weeks ago. So you know that things can happen. And just once Kennesaw got that lead, there was really belief in the stadium, and they wanted it. They have their thing is the KSU Banana Boys. I don't know if you have seen them, but there's a section in the students section. They dress as bananas. They're leading the whole charge. So once they got that lead in the second half, and it was Liberty playing uphill trying to get back into the game, people had that belief, and you saw how it played out.
Yeah, I'm sure the atmosphere there was great, and the energy, because once, like you're saying, in the second quarter when they took that lead, they never really lost it. The game got tied at one point, but they never lost that momentum. So I'm sure it was a lot of fun there in Fifth Third Stadium. Since it was the first time you got to go there for an FBS competition, what can you tell us about the stadium itself? Any obstructed views that you got to observe?
So I cut it a little slack. There was a small little camera well at the 50-yard line that maybe kind of blocked half of the seat. And I would call it an advisory or a warning. Blown alert. So, but the stadium is very interesting. You know, it's off campus. They're only a 10-year old program. It's 10,000 seat capacity. And it was built as a soccer stadium, but what the advantages of that is that all the bleachers are right next to the sideline. There's suites that are there that people can access. I had a press box seat, but it was outside under a cover with a little kind of bar table. It was the first time I had that kind of setup. But
fancy.
Yeah, I didn't spend much time there, but I was over there. Natural grass, which we love, and so no bad sight lines. You're talking about probably the highest bleacher is about 30 rows up. So everything right on top of you, and it, as an opponent, if you're trailing and you get that feel of everybody right on top of you, like the student section and the band are directly behind the Liberty bench, and you could tell they were having effect. So that got the ball rolling towards the end of the game. And then just the end of the game, the way it transpired, that was chaos with we rushed the field twice. We rushed the field when they threw it out of bounds, and they whistled the game over, and then they put a second back on the clock. And, you know, it's so nice. Why don't you do it twice? And we did.
And I got to say, I mean, I brought this up with Coach Bohannon, too, when we talked about their fan base. I mean, the speed in which they got off the field, too. I mean, they were very respectful of the refs wanting to clear the field to get that extra play in.
Yeah, and a lot of times you can't talk sense into the fans once they've done that. You know, I remember being at UTSA a couple of years ago. They won the conference championship, and they said, if you rush, we won't have a trophy presentation on the field. And everybody's like, well, we want to rush, you know, do the trophy presentation in the locker room. And this time they listened. And I think just having that, the unexpectedness of beating an undefeated team at home, and even though they did it legit and there was no fluke about it, I think that the fans just, they were appreciative. If you tell them to have to wait one more second to celebrate, they were willing to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you checked off number 134 out of 134. So we've got the big old check mark in that section, although we're adding two new members for you next year, Michael. So you'll have to check out Delaware and Missouri State at some point. But I just know that you had a good time at your 134th. What a fun way to end it with a bang, really.
It was fun. And, you know, there's a debate question out there, and I feel like I have the answer, but I'm not for sure. So I've seen games at Delaware and Missouri State in the FCS. And with teams going up and down, you know, Idaho went down a couple of years ago. You don't know, does it have to be an FBS game? That being said, I'm assuming they'll be on a weekday CUSA game next year.
And at some point.
I will be there. So I'm excited for 135 and 136.
Awesome. Well, you've got two more next week. It's our last week of weekday CUSA. It's coming up so quickly. I feel like we were just talking about the first week of October time ago. But you are going to Louisiana Tech at Sam Houston on Tuesday, Kennesaw State at WKU, is that correct, on Wednesday?
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about how you're getting there, traveling, and what you're excited about.
Yeah, so Sam Houston State, I went there last year, and, you know, last year I went there and they were 0-7, and it was right before Halloween, and being able to go back a year later, you know, Coach Keller has a winning pedigree, won a national championship a couple of years ago at Sam Houston State, so I'm not surprised they got the ball rolling. So to be able to go back there, saw them just beat FIU on Tuesday, so looking forward to more optimism because Sam Houston State was an FCS blue blood and they're used to winning down there. So what we saw last year was not representative of their program. And so now they got their feet under them and looking forward to that. And then Western Kentucky, I mean, they're just a fun program. They're winners too. And I know a lot of people out there. I have some ideas of things that I want to pull off on social media. I will just say one involves a particular mascot and a particular obstructed view seat. And if we can get that, I really think it will blow up the internet. So, but that being said, they play great football there at Bowling Green. So two good ones to end this month, October scheme or sequence of weekday CUSA games. It's not too late to rearrange the schedule. Maybe we could just go heads up against Maction and see what happens. But regardless, these first 3 weeks have been fun, and I'm looking forward to capping it off in Huntsville and Bowling Green.
Yeah, we need to make that certain mascot one that you mentioned. We'll keep it cryptic. I like that you manifested it. I hope it comes to fruition.
I am going to burn up the DMs between now. I know a lot of people over there, so we're going to try everything possible. So we'll see. And I've also been told that Flo Rida is doing the concert at Western Kentucky before the game. So last year it was DJ Diesel, Shaq, and got Flo Rida. So they do it big there on the weekday CUSA at Western Kentucky.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. As most people who listen to this podcast know, and definitely people in this office, anything involving Big Red, I'm all for. So I can't wait to see what happens next week. But enjoy your time down at Sam Houston, which has a great tailgate scene. You highlighted it last year. So enjoy your Tuesday night tailgate again this year. And then Wednesday at WKU against Kennesaw State. And Michael, we just really appreciate you joining the show once again. Our weekday warrior here. He's literally sitting in a parking lot somewhere in Norfolk, Virginia, with like a supermarket and a restaurant and who knows what, straight off of a plane. So we appreciate you for joining us. And we'll talk to you again for the final time during weekday CUSE. We're just changing the name. Weekday CUSA next week.
Absolutely. Thanks. I love talking with you guys. And we'll do a couple of these games off the grid, and then we'll come back. We'll do Tuesday, Wednesday. I look forward to chatting with you next week.
All right, Michael, thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks so much to Michael Barker for joining us once again for the Weekday Warrior segment here. Go follow him at CFB Campus Tour. He's headed to two more CUSA schools next week, which we are ready to talk about and preview for you here on CUSA Insider. A one note really quick, if you've been watching for a while, many apologies because I am nursing a cough and I just coughed through the entire first segment. So if I do it again, I'm really, really sorry. Prayers that I won't do it again next week. But thanks for hanging with us. Josh, we've got four more matchups next week, two Tuesday, two Wednesday, if you're going in chronological order. And it's our final weekday CUSA week of the season. I can't believe that it's already coming to a close so quickly. It feels like we just started it yesterday.
Yeah, the month has flown. But hey, I mean, like they always say, time flies when you're having fun.
That's right. Games. And they have been fun. Yeah, for sure.
And I anticipate a few more fun ones coming up this next week. You know, we start Tuesday, New Mexico State, FIU. This one's kind of an interesting one. You got a matchup of two teams that, are still trying to figure out how they want the rest of their season to go. You know, New Mexico State 2-5, FIU's 2-6. The Aggies are coming off that double overtime win over La Tech. They got the bye week to kind of rest up, get some guys healthy, all that. FIU, unfortunately, coming off the loss to Sam Houston this past week on Vice Night. But they're back home again, and I'll be at that myself and Judy. You'll be at that one. So I'm excited to check out Pitbull Stadium see this one. But I think, I always like to kind of find, like, some of those interesting matchups statistically. But, one that jumped out at me, New Mexico State, we've kind of talked about their red zone offense. They're 12th in the nation right now. But FIU ranks 25th in red zone defense. So that's going to be kind of one of the X factors to watch is New Mexico State. Can they get down the field and then can they punch it in against an FIU defense that, really has not allowed a lot of people to get the ball in when you get down to the short field. So, Panthers, they've lost three straight by an average of 6 points.
Yeah.
6 points a game.
Really tough. It's
been gut punches in the end of all these games. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be watching for, can they finish a game out? And I know that, the health has been an issue and whatever the case may be, but it's been tough.
Yeah, we'll see. back-to-back home games, they're not having to travel, yeah. So could be some good stuff for them there. And so that game, if anyone wants to watch it, which you should, is going to be on CBS Sports Network at 6 p.m. Central Time next Tuesday. And we've got another game on Tuesday, Louisiana Tech at Sam Houston, both of them coming off of victories this past week. That game at 7 o'clock p.m. on ESPNU.
Yeah, and La Tech, kind of an interesting team right now. They've won two of their last three games. It's kind of too early maybe to call it, a hot stretch, but, especially considering where the record's at. I mean, maybe this is a little bit of a turning point. The offense is starting to click with Evan Bullock. I talked about him in the recap section, but, and then with Nathan Young calling plays now after Sonny Cumbie kind of made that change and with the offense. It'll just be interesting to see how they follow it up. Obviously the offense wasn't quite as dominant this past week, only scored 14 points, but against a very tough UTEP defense. So,
yeah.
And then Sam Houston, again, going back to the health conversation, to be quite honest, they're concerning if Hunter Watson can't play in this game.
A little bit, yeah.
So I think it's going to be really important to make sure that he's all healthy and get him out there to hopefully, kind of keep the winning going for the Bearcats. I think it's kind of the first real test for, with as good as La Tech's defense has been this year, they haven't played one of the top rushing offenses for the conference. So this is the first one. Sam Houston's number 20th in the nation, averaging a little over 200 yards per game on the ground. But going against this La Tech rush defense was, also top 30 nationally. They've only given up 113 yards per game. So we'll see if Sam Houston can win in the trenches there, get that run game going.
And a lot on the line for the Bearcats. I mean, obviously they clinched bowl eligibility this past week, but they are not out of the talk to make a CUSA championship game either. And honestly, as crazy as it might sound, neither is Louisiana Tech. They have two victories in conference play. So, and they've been playing a lot better, I think, as of late. So we'll have to see how this one turns out. It'll be an interesting one for sure. And so we've got a pair of games on Wednesday as well. One of them was your number one weekday CUSA game to watch, and that is on Wednesday, October 30th, 6 p.m., CBS Sports Network, Jacksonville State at Liberty. Talk about that one for us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was excited to watch this one anyways. I think now it's got a whole nother level of intrigue to it with the way that, Jack State dominated again on offense. Liberty dropped a game to Kennesaw State. And I just want to point out that when we did our picks for top weekday CUSA games,
I know where you're going.
And I feel like there were a couple people that was like, oh, Sarah knows ball. Sarah's picks were so much better. obviously there was some strategy there over making sure, we very well could have picked the same game.
Yes.
But we wanted to differentiate a little bit. Sarah's three games were decided by an average of 28 points, and I've had a double overtime game, a 10-7 game on Vice Night, and then now this one. So I don't know. I hope I'm not jinxing myself and it's not going to be a Jack State blowout.
The Josh's jinx segment that we've been talking about is about to be in full force. Don't you ever, like, don't wish that on yourself, but it's going to be a good one. I really do. I think regardless of whether the game is close or not, I think we're in for an interesting game because right now Jacksonville State sits at 3-0 in conference, Liberty at 3-1 in conference after dropping that game to Kennesaw State yesterday. So there's just a lot of title contention scenarios that can play out in this game. And I think that's why it's so important.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's, you know, Liberty gets to go back home. They have to kind of shake off that loss to Kennesaw State. So, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of momentum or not momentum, but there's going to be a lot of boost for them, you know, back in front of their home fans. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of the last really big like title contention game until those last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's until the final
couple of weeks. Crazy our schedule is. I mean, the you know, when you look at the mix of the top four teams there, the rest of them don't play each other until November 23rd or November 29th or 30th. So, I mean, we're here shaking in our boots, realizing that we're probably not going to know where we're going until November 30th.
Which is so fun.
6 days out from the championship game itself. So we're kind of hoping that this game clears up anything.
Something. Yeah,
yeah, something. Obviously, a lot of games in between then that could change that because, you know, who knows? I don't think any of us would have predicted that Kennesaw State was going to beat Liberty. So there's a potential that, you know, some of those other teams at the top drop a game between now and then that maybe clears it up. But again, this is the one that, you know, the next one we had kind of penciled in for, okay, we're going to learn a lot more about both of these programs. And yeah, I mean, but we talk about Jack State's offense, the way that they're running the ball with those two guys in the backfield right now. Liberty still owns a very successful rushing defense and, you know, they're top 30 in the nation in total defense. I think Kennesaw showed a lot of holes that they have on defense that I think Jack State is probably going to expose. But and then the other thing with Liberty, they've got to stop shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Penalties. They are towards the very bottom. I think they're bottom five or bottom 10 in both penalties per game and penalty yards per game. And I think a lot of those, you know, say what you will, everyone's got something to say about the officials, but a lot of them have been avoidable pre-snap penalties. It's just a discipline thing.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here with Liberty fans. I know that they know that that's an issue for them too. But, and you know, obviously that's, it sounds easy to just say, oh, don't commit penalties. But like, when you think about how, when we talked about this with Sam Houston, you know, maybe back in the beginning of October, when they were like top 10 in the country.
Yeah, they're doing great. Penalties, right.
They were avoiding those third and long situations, and it was just making it easier on Hunter Watson and that offense to march down the field. And that has just been so hard for Caden Salter because they don't really have a big play threat in that offense right now. So when they get down to these third and 11s, fourth and 11s, like they had last night on that final drive, and you don't have a guy to go to, you're doomed, right?
Yeah, right.
So we'll see. I'm sorry I went on a little bit of a rant there, but yeah, I mean that's just the reality of it. So Liberty's got to clean some things up. But again, you know, going back home, you know, we know what Liberty can do, and it's just a matter of can they execute and can they get it done in a big game like this against Jack State.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm interested to see what Liberty's run defense looks like against a very, very good Jacksonville State run game. So definitely looking forward to that one. Again, that's at 6 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. And then we have a game directly following that, Kennesaw State at WKU, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN2. And WKU is back at it with the uniform reveal videos. So fun. Like the children of the corn. I don't know what's happening here. It's terrifying.
I love Big Red, but Big Red is the stuff of nightmares.
He's
and
scary.
It's even when you put the absurdity of Big Red in like a horror film scenario between this and when they did the Big Red Eyes helmet when it's like the slow turnaround,
yeah,
like a creaking noise. I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
WKU equipment, WKU video quotes, Big Red with the zombie Selly at the end. It was so great. We love you guys.
I need that.
Keep it up. Keep at it.
In a GIF, like,
yes.
I'm sure we'll somewhere, but
keep it up. There's more to just the uniforms and Big Red in next week's game. Let's talk about the on the field stuff for this game.
I mean, obviously the Owls have the most momentum that any team in the nation could have right now after that win. They're just gonna be reeling after this one, looking to knock off another Goliath, maybe.
Yeah, could, I mean, who knows?
You know, But I don't know. WKU, they've just been status quo offensively with Caden Vellkamp under center. They're not really prone to the same type of mistakes that I think Liberty is prone to, especially going back to the penalties conversation. That's something that has been a little bit of a strength for WKU. And then I just think, you know, with the way that with the talent they have on that offense, I mean, Caden Vellkamp has a litany of weapons to throw to hand off to, whatever. You know, I can't, it's hard for me to pick against them in this one. And then, you know, defensively, I think they'll allow Kennesaw to kind of move the ball down the field. I mean, that's the thing Kennesaw has been really good at this year is building long, methodical drives. But when it gets down to those short field situations, WKU defense, number 2 in the nation in red zone defense.
Yep, it's definitely going to be a battle for the Owls coming off of a big win. But like you said, I do think that the Hilltoppers pull this one out solidify themselves as a definite candidate for a berth into the CUSA title game in December. So we do actually have another game next week, MTSU at UTEP, but it's on Saturday. We're going back to Saturdays starting next weekend. So we will actually preview that game next Thursday in next Thursday's episode. So if you're here to hear about Middle Tennessee or UTEP, hold on. We'll talk about them next week. Final week of weekday CUSA games Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Excited to hopefully kick it off with a bang, end it on a good note. Michael Barker will be back on the show to talk about everything next week. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us for the very first video episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. If you found us, then you're probably on YouTube right now watching the show. But if you're more of an audio type of guy or gal, you can still listen to the show on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. You can find us at CUSA Insider Pod on social media as well, on X and Instagram. And just make sure you're subscribed so that you never miss a new episode. Well, everyone, thank you again for joining us today. Thank you again for dealing with me coughing into a microphone. I do apologize for that again, but it's been a lot of fun. We're excited to really get this show off the ground and do it every Thursday for you. Maybe some fun middle of the week middle of the week shows for you in between there. Done with our midweek games next week, but we'll still be bringing you lots of great content as we continue to go throughout the rest of football season. And we have some great conference championships coming up. First up with our cross-country championship, November 2nd at Jacksonville State, followed by the women's soccer championship, November 6th through the 10th at FIU. And then don't ask me the dates for the women's volleyball championship. That's a month off still, but we will have women's volleyball following that at the end of November. So lots of awesome and fun stuff coming down the pipe here for Conference USA. So make sure that you are subscribed to the show and you never miss any of our new episodes or content. Well, everyone, that's all for me today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.